Good morning, everybody. Is God good? He sure is. Praise God. So I want to read just a little note from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, and all for those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases our God, Savior, who wants everyone to be saved, to come to the knowledge of truth. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are here today. Father, we are your church. We thank you that Jesus continues to soften our hearts, to show us the way how we can submit ourselves to you. Thank you for this service. I just ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm just so excited about our worship team today, so thank you so much.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk,
dear Lord,
close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. My feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Get this right here.
Standing on the
promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I would shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises. Oh God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the
promises that cannot fail. When the how growling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing,
I'm standing,
I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. I'm standing on the promises of God. Every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing,
standing,
standing on the promises of God, my Savior.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one.
No,
not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like Him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
There's not
an hour that He's not near us. No, not one.
No,
not one. No night so dark but His love can cheer you. No, not one. No, not one.
Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done.
There's not a friend like the lowly. Was there a gift like the Savior giving? No, not one.
No,
not one. Will He refuse us a home in heaven?
No, not one.
No, not one.
Amen.
Amen. You've been running, running for a long, long time.
You've been running, running
with no peace of mind. You regret the day you turned away and became a fugitive from God. Why don't you turn, turn, turn around?
Why do you roam?
Can't you see God the Father waits to welcome you home? You were never meant to walk the path you've trod. How long will you run away, a fugitive from God? You've been wasting, wasting all your life in sin. You've been seeking, seeking everything but Him. You can see the light, you still choose the night to remain a fugitive from God. Why don't you turn, turn, turn around? Why do you roam? Can't you see God the Father waits to welcome you home? You were never meant to walk the path you've trod. How long will you run away, a fugitive from God? God's been searching, searching for a long-lost child. He's been calling, calling for a long, long while. If you hear His voice, make Him your choice, don't remain a fugitive from God.
Why don't you
turn, turn, turn around?
Why do you roam?
Can't you see God the Father waits to welcome you home? You were never meant to walk the path you've trod. How long will you run away, a fugitive from God?
Heavenly Father, I thank you that the blessings we got to hear this morning in your worship is from a father and daughter singing together your praises. God is so good. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the worship time that we have with you, a time to reflect our relationship with you, the mercies that you share with us in song, and how it brings joy to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we are in a body of believers that love each other, that care for one another, holding each other's babies and looking them in the eye, or sharing things that are weighing on their hearts. Father, you are right with us. We are being Jesus when we do these things. We are so thankful for that. Father, I ask that you be with the Mountain of Mercy as they come up right now to share some of the awesome things that God is doing for people who are looking for a way out, who can't do this on their own, and then come in for support and the prayers, and you, Jesus, we thank you. Bless this time in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if I can have Timothy and Shelby, come on up. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate you taking time out and coming down and sharing with us.
Awesome. Hey, guys, my name's Timothy. If you guys don't know, I'm from Mountain of Mercy, and Shelby in the back, she's also there. She is on her way to become a director. She came back out, and she'll give her testimony when she comes up. But the program, if you don't know, is a 8 to 10 month program, and it's a discipleship program, but it's centered around drugs and alcohol rehabilitation. So there's about 4 phases of the program. Every 2 months, you kind of level up. And a lot of the center of learning there is all centered in Jesus. That is the foundation, but we have a high value for teaching tools on how to feel emotions, communication, boundaries, learning how to actually be a powerful person, because a person can end up getting saved, but then they don't know how to actually communicate. And so all they know is to punch someone in the face or to be passive and to not do anything when they need to stand up for themselves. Or there's an array of different things. And so the program itself teaches people how to live a healthy life. That's really what it's centered in, because drugs isn't the issue. It's a lack of relationship with Jesus. It's the intimacy that we get with God that actually hinders us from growing and becoming who he wanted us to be. He is the center of everything, and he is the purpose that we have. Why we're even here today in this room isn't, we don't come for each other, we come for him. Like, that's the whole reason. That's why we're here. Because if it wasn't about him, we would have just left this earth when we got saved. But there's a purpose for us being here, and that is to spread the gospel to those people who are hurting and dying. So the program itself is completely free, other than getting blood work done and frozen money, which is money to send you home if you chose to leave. So you would have to come with that money. Other than that, it's fully donated based. So everything you guys have given over the years, it's all been used to bless those people. So your seed actually sows and changes people's lives. If people don't donate, we don't eat. That's the whole thing. And so I'm up here today to say thank you for everything you have done and everything you will do in the future, because it really does make a difference. You know, there's like a lot of like governmental programs that get financing, and so you donate to these places, but if you didn't donate, they would still run. This place won't stay there unless people donate. Unless God provides for us, that's just how it is. And he does provide through different grants and different things, but those aren't governmental things. And so allowing you guys the honor of like donating to us, I want you to say I'm thankful. Personally, I've been up there 5 years, and I know Mark, I've met with him multiple times. I've been here before, and your church here is a family. Our core value is that when people walk into our building, that they would experience family, healthy family. Family is centered in Jesus, and that's what I experience when I come here. Watching everyone communicate and doing the testimonies. I've been to a lot of churches. People don't do that. They don't allow people to give testimonies or prayer requests. Like, you sit here as a family together, and that makes a difference. So the way you live your life actually affects us. You being generous affects us to be generous in return, right? And so the main thing I wanted to say was thank you first. And then a little bit about me is that 2014, you know, I was on and off drugs my whole life, just doing my own thing and traveled. And eventually the Lord was like kind of knocking at my door in a spiritual sense. Like, I was confused and blind. I couldn't see anything. Like, and I went on this journey of figuring out what I wanted to believe in life. And so I got into Buddhism. And so I was moving towards this, you know, more meditative, more of like long suffering type of lifestyle. And there were these moments I can look back and go, God was in this moment. I can see him waking me up spiritually. Because anyone that doesn't know Christ can be spiritually dead, right? That when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't physically die right there, but spiritually they died. It's the spirit to spirit with God got separated. Jesus came to restore that relationship with God, with the Father. Like, we celebrate fathers today, but the Father sent his Son so that we could have that relationship with him, right? So it's in the spiritual connection. So he was waking me up throughout these moments, And then at my brother's wedding, there was this guy, his name was Alex, and he ended up asking me if I had back pain, and he goes, I think one of your legs is shorter than the other one. And it was this weird thing because I didn't believe in God at this point. I was already like doing my own thing. And in the midst of that, he goes, can we see? And so we measured my legs, and one was shorter, my right leg. And he prayed, and I watched it grow out right there. Like, it was one of those things that it didn't make me believe in God, but it was this thing outside of myself that touched me, right? And so I had this encounter with God, and then it sparked this fire to go actually seek him. And 3 weeks later, I heard him speak to me, and he said, be still and know that I am good in the chaos of life. And in the midst of that, that has been my foundation of, like, when things are going nuts, because you would think, I hear God, I get saved, I get baptized, and everything would be great. But then I ended up going back to drugs. It's like, why am I going back? You know, I would look at these people who got saved and delivered from drugs and alcohol, and then they would never touch it again. I ended up going back. And so the enemy would come in and give me all these lies, like, you're not enough. There's just an array of different things that he would speak. And so what I love about the mission, the Mountain of Mercy, is that they teach you how to live healthy, right? You can get saved, but then still end up having all these habits that you had before and not knowing how to overcome those things, right? God will deliver you and then walk you through solidifying the deliverance that he gives you. But that walking it out is actually a messy road sometimes. And that's the beauty of God, is that his grace and his mercy is sufficient. That there's something worth living for that's bigger than myself. Like, he is everything. Without him, we have nothing. Like, all the jobs we do in life, everything we do, it's all meaningless unless we have him. It doesn't mean anything. But because we do it and we have him, it gives purpose to everything we do. So I'm up there at Mountain of Mercy ministering to these people, to the residents up there. You guys are at your job ministering to the people that come in contact with you. There is no difference between what I do and what they do, what you do. There's an aspect of, we're always growing, we're always learning, we're always maturing more today than we did yesterday. And so allowing ourselves to enter into the process that God has us in, that growth that you get, it radiates God's love to those around you. That's, and your generosity, I'll go back, is what allows me to have purpose. Because of God's love in you, you as a church body donating to us is like, God is in this. Like, he's in it, and we can see it. And then the residents get to see it. You know, when the residents, they're like, some people don't believe this kind of stuff right away, but my director would be like, you want that? Pray for it. You want eggs? To make eggs in the morning? Pray for it. And this has happened more times than I can count. A resident will start to pray about something, and then you guys or another person would donate the exact thing that that person was praying for. That is God, and that is strengthening their faith. Like, I just want to paint a picture for you guys on, like, the impact that your generosity has. It's bigger than just you. You're actually changing people's lives. Their faith is being solidified by your generosity. That's really big. I mean, that's really big. Everything we do matters. There's an importance to that. And the scripture that I was thinking about this morning, it's my favorite scripture, is it's in Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 5:22, 21. Let me look it up so I don't Corinthians 5, 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what's happening, is these people are realizing that they were messed up, full of sin in their life, and the one who knew no sin became sin. He became it. He became sin. The one who created us became our sin. The humility of walking that out, like he became sin, so that we might. I like these little words because they mean a lot. The word might, knowing that there's a powerful choice in that. You get to choose. It is your choice to be righteous with God. He made a way. He became sin. He already did it. And then allowing yourself to make a choice, I want to be the righteousness of God. In him, you become one, like in marriage. The covenant, this is what I've been talking about up there a lot, is the covenant. Covenants are made with blood. That's why when you get married and you go lay with your wife for the first time, being a virgin, there's blood. Covenant. God designed it this way. It's actually a beautiful thing. When Abraham had the covenant with God, God put Abraham asleep, split open three animals, and he walked through them. The covenant was sealed with the blood of the animals. Where there's death, you're going to have to sacrifice. Abraham had to almost sacrifice Isaac for the covenant, but God said, no, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. And that's the process that we're all in. Jesus made a covenant with us so that we could walk like he walks, so we could do what he does. And that's represented through generosity, through a smile that you give to someone, through the hard work that you work, through praying for someone, for sitting with someone, or, you know, your parents need help and you move back into the house and you take care of them. All of it matters to God. When you've done it unto these, you've done it unto him. It's the same thing. He's like, you're doing it for me. So know that your generosity affects us. And I'm really thankful. This whole purpose of me coming is just to be thankful for you guys because of what you guys have done for us. I've seen people's lives changed. And Shelby is one of those people. I watched her come in, and the process that God has taken her on is magnificent. You know what I mean? So I'm going to bring her up and so you can give a little of her testimony.
Thank you. Of course.
Okay. Good morning. So, let me see here. Where do we want to start, Lord? there's a lot. So, my name is Shelby Lindsay, and I'm 31 years old. So, from age 13 is when my addiction issues really started. I had a lot of stuff go on when I was younger. I'm not going to get into it, but there's just trauma and different things, and I've always been a very sensitive person. And so, my parents are amazing people. They've never had addiction issues. My grandparents, however, did have, they were alcoholics, but other than that, my parents didn't have any addiction issues. So they have a cattle farm in Indiana. I'm from Indiana. Let's see here. So, sorry, I'm trying to gather my thoughts. So, Age 13, addiction started. My parents didn't really have a relationship with the Lord, so I didn't really have any kind of foundation with the Lord. I had gone to church with my grandmother a little bit when I was younger, and I didn't really understand much of anything that was going on. I really just went to spend time with my grandma. And so as I got older, I didn't really have that foundation. So I got into addiction at 13. By 16, I was a full-blown, fully dependent on meth. And so there began, a huge downward spiral in my life. And my parents, they had no idea what to do. They didn't even realize that I had had a problem until I was almost 18 years old, and things just started getting fully out of control in my life. So with meth addiction usually comes abusive relationships, extremely risky behavior. You guys can imagine everything awful you can probably think of comes with meth addiction. And so I got into that and I started selling drugs. And so at 21, I had just gotten out of a really abusive relationship and I was trying to support myself. I didn't really want to admit defeat and go back home to my parents and be like, yeah, you were right. And so I just kind of carried on doing the best I could at that time. I was working and selling drugs. And so at 21, I went to jail for the first time. That wasn't very fun, but it didn't do much for me. I still had this internal turmoil going on because I had never processed any of the trauma or the emotions that were really where my addiction was stemming from. And so you can just imagine addiction, it's horrible. So all of these crazy things, abusive relationships and jail trips, I had about 5 or 6 of those. And at 25, I had come to the point where I was miserable, and I was pretty much just using just to be able to function, and it wasn't fun anymore. And so I was really at a place in my life where I didn't want to be alive anymore, and I was really on a mission to do as much as I possibly could to get off this planet, basically, is where I was at. And at this point in my life, people had come around after the fact. I knew it was God, but at the time, I did not realize it was the Lord trying to get through to me. I had many people come out of nowhere a lot and be like, you want to go to church with me? And I'm like, no, I was as far away from that as I could possibly be. And so I can remember just being miserable, not wanting to be alive anymore. And all of these things started occurring, all of these relationships that I had built up by selling drugs and everything. The Lord stepped into my life, and all I can really describe it to you as is a whole supernatural occurrence. It would take me forever and a day to be able to explain it all to you, but I didn't want to be alive anymore, and God showed up. And at this point, I was like, if God was real, I think he's just somebody that somebody made up to be able to get through this horrible life. That was my mindset. And so God showed up and he was like, actually, I am very real. And I started hearing from him, not audibly, but everything in existence just started speaking to me. And I'm like, this can, after a while, it took me probably, I'd say 6 months of having all a bunch of strange things happen that nobody could explain. And then I realized it was the Lord, basically. And I went home to my parents because I couldn't see who was talking to me, but I knew somebody was talking to me, and I couldn't figure out if it was really God or if it was the years of drug abuse or whatever. So when I went home and I was like, I'm going to get sober, my parents were like, what the heck? Because I hadn't been home, but it was the Lord at the time. I was like, I think God's talking to me. And of course, they don't have a relationship with God. So they were extremely confused. They were worried. They were like, oh my gosh, the drugs have finally got our daughter. They thought I was a goner. So they hospitalized me. And at that time, medical facilities don't really have a grid for spirituality, I don't think, or any kind of I don't know, but they diagnosed it as a medical condition. And so I was diagnosed bipolar schizophrenic, and I am not. They put me on all kinds of medications at the time, and the Lord was still speaking to me, even a year after taking these medications. So I knew that I was not bipolar schizophrenic. It was just people who didn't understand trying to figure out what the problem was, and I was in the wrong place for that. So I kept relapsing after that because, like, I would hear God's voice for a while, not audibly, but how he speaks to me. And when I wouldn't hear from him, I would turn back to the only thing that I knew, and that was drugs. So I went through 2 years after I had my God encounter at 25. He led me on this journey of discovering, like, who he was and that he actually loved me. And so once I came to the conclusion that it was the Lord speaking to me and nobody around me could give me any kind of advice, and I really think that's how he wanted it, because nobody around me had a relationship with the Lord. And so he led me in this process, and one of the first things that he taught me in this process was that my prayers were powerful. And so, I went to work with my mom one day. She works at a horse farm. This horse would not get in the trailer for anything. They were trying to get this horse in a trailer for about an hour, and they couldn't get it in there. And something inside of me was like, pray. I'd never said a prayer for anything but other than not to go to prison, and I didn't even know if I was praying to the real God. So I'm like, pray. So I prayed for this horse to, I was like, Lord, please help the horse go in the trailer. You know, they were trying feed pans and everything. And as soon as I prayed, that horse walked into the trailer. And so that was like the first part of my journey, was the Lord saying, Shelby, your prayers are powerful. I'm here. I listen to them. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is wild. It's like I was a miserable mess, and suddenly I woke up and was like, oh my gosh, God's real, and it feels like I have superpowers or something. So it really made life really interesting, and it really like led me away from that lifestyle. I just didn't know how to get out of it. So the Lord had a plan for that also. So in all of these relapse back and forth, I started running into people. Mind you, I've never been out of Indiana at this point in my life, barely ever. And so I started running into people, and they were like, oh, like I hadn't seen them in a while. And I'd be like, I love your shirt. And they're like, thanks, I got it in California, right? So it was like these little instances of California, and I'm like, there's got to be something significant to this because it kept happening, right? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about California for, because I don't even know anybody in California. I've been in Indiana my whole life on a cattle farm. So I had had, in 2018, I had gone to jail, and when I got out, they were like, it was God all day long, because they had made a mistake, because I had had three of the same charge, possession charge, in the same county, and if they would have caught it, I could have been sent to prison as a habitual offender. So it was literally the Lord, because I had had the same judge every time up to that point, and it was a different one because the one I always had just so happened to be on vacation. And they didn't catch it. So they were really mad when 60 days went by and I went back to court to be released. And they were like, oh my gosh, we didn't realize you had all these priors, right? And so the judge was upset. He said, if you so much as fail a drug test, you're going to prison. And I'm like, okay. And I was still a mess, you know? I still kept using. And so I knew that I desperately needed help if I didn't want to go to prison for 2 years. And if I would have been caught doing the things I was doing, I would have went to federal prison for a lot longer than that. So I went to the House of Hope in Indiana, and I was like, I heard you send people out of state. And they said, yeah, we have one in California. Well, when they said California, it was like my spirit leapt in my body. And so I called out there, and they were like, yeah, just get blood work done and come on out, right? And when I found out, like, what the place was actually called was the Mountain of Mercy, I was like, what? I need that, you know? So, when I showed up at the Mountain of Mercy, I had absolutely no self-worth, no idea of even how to live a normal life anymore, because going from 13 to adulthood, 25, I was clueless. And they really taught me, they've taught me so much there. When I encountered God, that's when this beginning happened, when I figured out that the God of the universe actually loved me in the worst place I was at. Because when I tell you I was in the worst place, like rock bottom had four basements where I was at when the Lord came and got me. And he showed up, and I was dumbfounded. Like, why would you even think to love me after all I've done, all I've been doing? and all of these things, but he's so gracious and he's so kind and compassionate. And none of that stuff even mattered. It mattered to him, but he came and he got me out of it. And for that, I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful for the Mountain of Mercy. When I showed up there, they were the first people that I had encountered ever that didn't treat me like I was like mentally ill. You know, I knew I wasn't mentally ill. I knew that the Lord was just speaking to me and doing what he needed to do to save my life. And when I showed up there and Lynn Landry was like, Shelby, you're not crazy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in the right place. Thank God. You know, because like up to this point, I'd been treated like I was just mentally ill. And like my parents were just so clueless. They loved me so much, but they had no idea how to help me because they gave me all these pills and there's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. And what I had was a spiritual problem. You know, I was just dead. I was dead. And so the best way I can describe what had happened to me, when I repented to the Lord, it felt like there was something in here with me that didn't belong. And I feel like that's what I was trying to kill, basically, was whatever was in here that didn't belong. But the day that I got on my knees and I repented wholeheartedly to the Lord, I felt something leave me. I don't know what was in here with me, but the Lord got it out. Praise God. And I've not been the same since then. Like I get emotional just talking about it because like I haven't even had a desire to go back. I just on the 15th I just celebrated 4 years of being sober and I didn't yeah. And I didn't even think I would be alive to see 31 years old. Let me go back a little bit. I know I'm kind of all over the place, but hey. So I went through the program in 2019. I learned all these things about God and about how much he loved us and about how there were people out there that actually genuinely cared because I had no trust in humanity at all when I showed up there. God walked me through all of that. I graduated in February of 2020, and they had asked me to stay on staff. And I was like, okay, cool. I just got to go home and go to court. Well, I went home to go to court in February of 2020. And mind you, let me back up a little bit. So I was with this guy in my addiction. His name's Dylan. He went to prison in 2016. We had been in trouble together. So he went to prison. He got out, and I was still a wreck, a mess, complete mess. And I did not even know what a healthy relationship looked like or if he was who I was supposed to be with or anything. I was like, okay, I'm going to go out here and get help. So I go to California. He stays there at my parents' because he had been living with me the whole time. And so I came out here, went home in 2020 with every intention of letting him know, like, hey, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but I'm going with God. And I'm going back to California to work on staff at this mission because they helped save my life. I knew it was what the Lord wanted me to do. And so I was going home to break up with him and tell him I was sorry, basically. Until COVID happened. God had different plans. Because I went home with all of these new boundaries. You know, I had boundaries. I had morals. I had this relationship with God that was amazing, you know. And I didn't know if he was supposed to be a part of my life. So I was just like, God, I'm doing this. I'm breaking up with them and going with you. Well, COVID happened. And we were stuck at home together. And I figured he would have left because I had established boundaries. I was like, surely he'll leave or something. But he just loved me more, which was extremely confusing to me. But then as time unfolded, they wouldn't transfer my probation. I'd been sentenced to 2 years of probation. They wouldn't transfer it to California because of COVID, and they wouldn't go across state lines, even though I paid the money and did two applications. But it was part of God's plan, you know? And so we were stuck together, and we were forced to get to know one another, even though at that time I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't know what God's doing with my life, because I was fully surrendered to the Lord for everything that he's done for me. And so time unfolded, he proposed to me, and we ended up getting married in, we got married on 2/22/22, and I had given up on going back to California because I'm like, okay, this is what God's doing with my life, you know. Once I got my hands out of it, he was free to actually do what he was doing and give me a helper. And so we got our credit scores right. We had both had jobs. He was a supervisor at his job. And then all of a sudden the Lord started saying California again, which really confused me. And I was like, well, I guess this is what we're doing. And he wasn't willing. He was actually scared. And I'm like, you act like you've never quit your job and ran to California before, because I had done that and he has not. And he had been sober for 7 years. He's still sober and he's up there with us. But the Lord said, quit your jobs. And I was like, quit my job and go to California. Okay, and volunteer at this house. And I was all for it. Dylan was terrified, but I started praying about it. And that's what I've been doing our whole marriage thus far, is just, I know what I'm supposed to do with God. And if he's not on board, I just start praying about it like every day. And the Lord has come through every single time, because you see where we're at. And so the Lord moved things around. People we didn't even know were giving us gift cards to get out here, because we drove out here from Indiana. We had a little bit of money saved up, and the Lord was like, I'll provide for you, Shelby. Just go do what I need you to do. And so now both of us are on staff at the Mountain of Mercy, and it is just, it's so fulfilling to just serve, like, just serve God, you know? And it's so, I have such a passion for helping people that have been where I've been and, like, don't have any idea about what it looks like to have a relationship with the Lord. And so, like, I couldn't be more blessed being up there. I'm doing what I love to do, and that's help people in addiction. God's taken me all sorts of different places now, and just my life has been just completely amazing ever since I got a relationship with God. And I know he's not stopping here, because believe it or not, this is only the second time I've ever gotten up to, like, speak in front of people. And I was petrified to talk in front of people, so this is a miracle. We got through it, you know, but but it's getting easier every time I do it. And he's just been here every step of the way. I actually was asking him yesterday, I was reading my Bible all day yesterday, like, Lord, is there something you want me to talk about? Because I need you to tell me if there is. And this morning, I was in 2 Corinthians yesterday. But when I got here, like, my Bible app was on my phone, and it was in John 14. So I'm just guessing that that's what the Lord wanted me to talk about, because it says Jesus, the way to the Father. I was like, okay, here we go. So I'm just going to read this part for you, because I don't know if somebody in here needs to hear it or what. But don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And trust also in me, Jesus. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare. I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. And they said, and the disciples said, no, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. There's so much truth in that. It hit me like a ton of bricks, because literally, like, I've never been satisfied in my whole life until God showed up, and it was like everything else just didn't matter anymore. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. And so I really just feel like, because it's Father's Day, the Lord just wanted to reiterate that he's our Father, you know? And it's such an honor to be able to get up here and face my fears on Father's Day for him, because this is for him, you know? Like, this, my whole life is for him now, you know? And it's truly an honor to be able to share what he's done in my life with you guys, even though it was kind of all over the place. Yeah, but everything's for God now, you know? And thank you for this opportunity, and happy Father's Day.
Wow. Shelby thinks you think you were all over the place, but you said the right things. Mercy and grace. And out of that scripture, every one of us, we liken to become like Jesus. So when they look into our eyes, the world looks into our eyes, they get to see Jesus. They get to see the Father. That's how intimate God is with us. That's pretty amazing. I see your hand up. Yeah, it's local. What's the location? I know it's a Honeydew area, but it's been a while. We've been up there, but it's been a long time.
Thank you, Tim.
Yes. Yep. So it's out in Honeydew. If you're driving on Bull Creek, or now it's called Matole Road, you take out there Avenue of the Giants, the Rockefeller part. For the Redwoods, if you, instead of stopping in the Redwoods, you keep driving another 15 miles up the hill, you'll find our place. It's right on the left. There's a huge cross, and then it opens up for the whole valley. So, Southern Humboldt, local.
Yeah. Awesome. And then this is nationwide, right? It's not just California. And there are other ministry or locations, right?
Yes, sir.
So, thank you. 20 of them. Yeah, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. So when you're heading out the Matole Road and you think you've gone too far, you just keep driving. So, and then it just is right there off to your left, and it just pops right down to the hill and the gardens and everything else. So mercy and grace. That is powerful. And it really goes to show you when the saints pray, God hears your voice. So when you're praying for those loved ones that are lost and out and about, even though you're not able to talk to them, God is talking to them. So don't let your prayers fall short. They really are. Mountain of Mercy, Timothy, thank you for coming. And Shelby, you said exactly what you needed to say. Let me close this in prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercy. And Father, we come to you as God. And we look forward to your expectations that we will come to you. And Lord, you are a miracle maker. And so we're trusting you in this whole process. Bless all the fathers and the uncles and adopted fathers today and the celebration of Father's Day. And thank you for all the workers that put all this barbecue together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.